You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are going to continue our conversation about border security and the wall with another very important contributor to the public policy debate about these issues. He is Michael Cutler, a 30-year veteran of the Immigration and Naturalization Service and a number of other law enforcement agencies and task forces that gave him firsthand understanding of the challenge of our border and internal security in the face of concerted efforts by people, at least some of whom, are deeply hostile to our country. Michael, these days, is a senior fellow of the Californians for Population Stabilization Organization. And he writes extensively at places like Front Page Magazine, Family Security Matters, and elsewhere, and comments widely, I'm very pleased to say, here from time to time on these issues. Michael, it's so good to have you with us. Welcome back.
Great to join you.
Let's start with the border wall issue, Michael. We were talking with Mark Krikorian a little bit about this before your segment. Give us your reading on what's happening on the ground in the first place and then in the halls of Congress and of course, official Washington.
Yeah. Well, Washington is devoid of reality. You know, they're disconnected from the real world. Look, I've often said that a wall by itself is not going to solve the immigration crisis, but has to be a component of an overall system. I compare it to a wing on an airplane. Without the wing, the airplane doesn't fly, but the wing by itself goes nowhere. We need the wall. And in fact, if you look at a case that was just brought in New York, we're dealing with an individual from Pakistan who had been smuggling aliens into the United States from terror-sponsoring countries through Brazil. Brazil is home to the tri-border region where we know there are terror training camps, and they were coming across the Mexican border. So we understand the nexus between national security and border security, and yet the same members of Congress who voted just a few years ago for putting up a barrier along the border, especially among the Democrats, are now going 180 degrees in the opposite direction.
Yeah. We're talking with Michael Cutler, a veteran of the Immigration and Naturalization Services, about this controversy over the wall and the Democrats' apparent threat to shut down the government if it goes forward. Michael, you were discussing how Democrats only a few years ago substantially voted to approve exactly the kind of border wall that Donald Trump is talking about. What's the change here?
Well, I think that the Congress has been gotten to by their own leaders that want that unlimited supply of future new voters, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the American Immigration Lawyers Association that wants a limitless supply of cheap labor, foreign students, foreign tourists. They're hell-bent on keeping our country, frankly, vulnerable because they just see it as a minor issue compared with their overall agenda. And you know, this is not a war that we're good with. That we can lose because American lives and national security are on the line.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you making it very clear. That's what's at stake here. But you mentioned something that's interesting to me. You said congressional leaders. Do you mean that Republican leaders as well as Democrats seem to be in favor of this kind of open border posture, this cheap labor philosophy?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there are certain members of Congress on the Republican side that absolutely don't want the border secure. Think about John McCain. Think about Lindsey Graham.
Paul Ryan.
Madness. And I mean, look, these folks are associated with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I call them the U.S. Chamber of Horrors. They are not making America's security the priority. They're putting their own agenda ahead of that. And by the way, this really isn't a left-right issue. This is actually a globalist versus populist issue. When you see what's happening in Europe, Brexit in England, France with their election. This is about populists versus globalists, and it's the globalists that are trying to keep our borders open.
And putting at risk in the process national security. And Michael, you made a very important point a moment ago about this being only part of a solution. Spend a minute, if you would, talking about the internal enforcement of the law problem. Sanctuary cities, of course, is simply one manifestation of it. But more generally, you've talked about every state in the union now being a border state. Remind us why you're saying that.
Sure, because any state with an international airport, any state that lies along our northern or southern borders, any state that has access to America's 95,000 miles of meandering coastline or border states. And for all the talk we hear about how we've got to go after human traffickers, please understand something. By preventing ICE agents in sanctuary cities from having access to smuggled aliens, those are lost opportunities to identify, investigate, and ultimately put out of business the human traffickers. That's how you make those cases. I made smuggling cases. But without the aliens being brought to the attention of the ICE agents, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, they are unable to identify the smugglers. So in reality, not only are illegal aliens being shielded from ICE, but human trafficking organizations are being shielded from ICE by the mayors of sanctuary cities. Plus, you have the Democrats not wanting to spend the money on extra agents, which we desperately need for interior enforcement.
Yeah. So what you've described here, Michael, just to recap, is a sort of multifaceted threat. You've got narco trafficking, you've got human trafficking, and you've got terrorist organizations, all of whom are taking advantage of both our porous borders, particularly to the south, but also, I would argue, to the north, and certainly the phenomenon of these sanctuary cities and so on. So how do we explain to the American people, whose common sense, I think, fuels this populist sentiment, and that I think there's no question about it, helped elect Donald Trump president of the United States, in part on the platform, sort of in its most distilled essence of building the wall. How do we explain to them what Democrats, and for that matter, some Republican leaders are doing here?
Well, the word is betrayal. And that's what we have elections for. You know, Donald Trump hopefully will be the beginning of a trend, not a speed bump along the way to chaos. If we don't get members of Congress elected who stand with the president on his immigration policies, and again, this isn't about Democrat or Republican. This is about people with the moral compass, the moral fortitude to stand up for what's in America and Americans' best interest, then history will remember this era as just a stopgap along the road to anarchy, and that can't happen. Too much is on the line. And by the way, if you look at the money leaving the country because of foreign workers, both legal and illegal, the drug trade, if we could stop all of that, that alone would more than pay for the wall with everybody asking about it. You know, El Chapo Guzman, the most pernicious drug dealer, being prosecuted in New York, a sanctuary city, I might add, they're trying to forfeit $14 billion of his assets. Wouldn't that be a great down payment on that wall?
And Michael Cutler, very quickly, you've spent a lot of time with the Drug Enforcement Agency folks. Is there a connection between these sort of open borders and the ability to move narcotics into this country and the concern that we're now hearing so much about in terms of the opioid crisis? I know some are prescription drugs, but are they tied? Is there a connection here?
Oh, absolutely. And I've been screaming about this for years. You know, with all the arguments about whether or not the border is secured, I've always said that if you really want an honest metric that can't be messed around with about border security, look at the price and the availability of heroin and cocaine. We are in the midst of the worst heroin epidemic, arguably, in history. So the demand is through the roof, and yet the price has never been cheaper. The only way that you could have a super high demand at super low prices is if you have an unlimited supply of the substance. We don't produce a gram of heroin in the United States. Every single gram of heroin present in America was smuggled into the United States, whether across the Mexican border, through seaports, international airports. This country is a sieve. And if we don't start plugging the holes and going after the foreign nationals seeking to ply their trades, whether it's criminal activities, terrorism, whatever, we're in deep trouble.
We're in deep trouble indeed. Michael Cutler, we have to leave it at that. Thank you so much for these insights, as always, and for the work you've done in the past in the Immigration and Naturalization Service and elsewhere, and also that you're providing today at Californians for Population Stabilization. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep it up the great work, Michael. We'll talk with you again very soon. Next up, Gordon Chang on the latest from Asia, straight ahead.